Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. The information shared in this episode is for educational and inspirational purposes only and does not constitute financial, legal, or investment advice. Always consult with a qualified financial advisor or professional before making any financial decisions. The views expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of their employer nor the views of the Empowered in My Skin team. Great day, amazing humans. I'm so excited because today is the day that we start our series on called Well Within. Well Within. And so we're kicking it off with something special, somebody special. And I'm going to talk about just really quickly. So we decided to focus on wellness because being well is not just one-dimensional. Too often wellness and well-being are mistaken for mental health and alone, but true well-being is multidimensional. And it's about it's not only about how you feel, but it's about how you function spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and guess what? Financially. And so today we're diving deep into financial wellness and well-being, a conversation that touches your mindset, your money story, and your self-worth. And to lead us there, we have an incredible guest. My intro that the team had, but then I'm going to do Inky's intro after. But this guest is not just talking about money. She's not here just to talk about money, but she's going to break it down. She's going to flip the script, and she's going to show us how wealth can be built from with confidence and clarity. For over 20 years, she has turned financial complexity into everyday action. I'm going to tell you how she does that, empowering women and underrepresented communities to claim their seat at the table, at the wealth table, I might add. So get ready to feel inspired, informed, and unstoppable. And so please join me in a gigantic podcast welcome for the amazing Delicia Graham.
Oh my goodness. I need to have you do my introductions all the time, ma'am. So wonderful to be here, my dear.
I love it. So I have to actually let you know, she was my entrance into direct investing. So I had never, like, typically I have a wealth advisor, but I never really traded on the stock market myself. And so one day during the pandemic, we had established these Friday Connects, remember? Yeah. And this one particular day, she was telling me how she had bought a Louis Vuitton bag. And she was waiting for it. She was waiting for it to be ordered to arrive. And I said, "Why would you buy a Louis Vuitton bag? We're in a pandemic. Where are you going to use it?"
I always have to be fabulous.
So anyway, so fast forward a couple. I don't know. It must have been a couple of Fridays, and I think I might have asked you, "So how was your Louis Vuitton bag?" And you said, "Oh, I returned it." Why did you return it? She says, "I returned it and bought one stock in Google." I was like, "You bought one stock in Google?" So yeah. And I was like, how do you buy one stock in Google? Anyway, fast forward to that, then turned to one of the Fridays, if not the next Friday, as part of the Connect, we set myself up. She walked me through it, and I set up a direct investing account with TD. And ever since then, I have been trading. And the brilliance of how she got me started is a big part of why you're here. And so, you know, you are wonderful. You dumbed it down for me. I feel way wealthier as a result. And today we're going to actually, I feel wealthier and well.
I love this. And I think, like, that's the main part of it, right? Is it's turning it into a conversation. I think as women, we don't realize how much of the economy we actually control. Mm. And you are one of the most brilliant people. You know, we talk about this all the time. It's not that we aren't smart enough to do it. It's mm-hmm. that the confidence and having learned how to do it, mm-hmm. I think was the main thing that not just you, it's thousands of women across the globe, we go mm-hmm. through this. So mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we were able to do that. And we are still each other's financial accountability partners.
And, you know, just because you went there, I actually do need to ask. This is, well, first of all, let me officially get us started. So what has been your most empowering thought of the day so far?
My most empowering thought of the day, I had a really good workout with my trainer this morning. Mm-hmm. And so my thought that gave me a lot of clarity. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if anything, it made me feel stronger. Like my body felt stronger and I felt more mentally stronger to kind of take on the day. So for me, it just reaffirmed the need for physical health. Mm-hmm. And so that was my most important thought of just like the clarity that comes from that. Mm-hmm. That made me feel very powerful today.
And the way you're sitting right now, I could tell you conquered this day. And so, so because you went there, before we start to really tap into your brilliance, like, I don't know if I know your origin story and how, like, you locked into sort of money and being the thing that you believe your purpose to help unfold for people in this world.
My origin story. Yeah, it was one of those things. Like, you know, our money story, I think of my origin story really attached to our money story. Mm-hmm. And for me, I grew up from humble beginnings. Both my parents were blue collar workers, worked extremely hard, multiple jobs to put food on the table. And going through that of having scarcity, not always knowing how bills are going to get paid, living paycheck to paycheck, that reiterated a different type of money conversation in our household of just how to budget, how to keep the lights on. And then going to university, you're then introduced to all different socioeconomic backgrounds. And the one thing is, for me, I went to a HBCU, a historically Black college or university. So not only did I get to see different socioeconomic backgrounds, but I got to see Black excellence at different levels. And so that was another level of entrance for money. But when I got started with my career, it was really, I was getting ready to go to law school, figuring things out. And so I just got a part-time job at the bank. And I was being a teller and just understanding how people were using money as a tool and just working my way through the financial industry. So going from being a front desk teller, being a financial service representative where I'm learning about different type of loans. I then went to commercial underwriting where I'm learning about how to write underwriting different loans on the big construction buildings that we're doing. I learned about agricultural loans. So through the industry, I just kind of kept learning and becoming more credentialed in the industry. And that is what got me started with investing. I went into Charles Schwab one day and just really trying to have a conversation. I actually just love the building. I'm like, this architecture is so beautiful. walked into the building and struck up a wonderful conversation. A few months later, got interviewed and joined the team. And so that really was my introduction into investing and a whole new world of understanding how we use money as tools. Mm-hmm. It's not just scarcity of how do we just budget day to day, but using it appropriately so that we can use it to build wealth and use it more as a tool as we continue to build generational wealth. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing that for the last 20 years. I was an investment advisor for many years, ran $500 million portfolio, decided to then say, I want to take some time for the family, took a step. I wouldn't say step back. I took a side step. I did a pivot and then worked for a hedge fund for a few years doing trade surveillance, which mm-hmm. is why I know I'm doing mm-hmm. trading. Mm-hmm.
Trade surveillance. That sounds really technical.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody's got to be watching to make sure everything is going so where
that's what you're not, not, you're not, you're not checking. You're making sure the trade goes through well, not fraud, not looking for fraud.
A little bit of both. So working at a hedge fund, you're working with a much smaller group. So it wasn't just making sure that the trade was placed appropriately because these are trade where you're trading millions of shares at a time, sometimes hundreds of thousands of shares at a time. And so it's not just making sure that the trade was placed appropriately, but it's also making sure that there was no fraudulent issues or anything like that when the trade was placed and making sure it settles correctly. So usually nowadays trade settles one day later. At that time, I think it was T+2 or T+3, meaning you trade today and 3 days later, the trade settles, your money's in account or the whatnot, just for our guests who might not be familiar. And so that was my job at the time. And it was great because it really made me understand the technicality of trading and what you're doing. Markets move and understanding the trading lingo. And so those are my experiences throughout the years. And understanding those things also made me realize I was the only, many times I was the only sitting in the room. Mm. Sometimes it was the only woman, and sometimes it was the only minority sitting in the room, and sometimes it's both. And so that made me also realize how women talk about money very differently than men. Mm. You know, when I talk to friends or just I listen to different women who are clients at the time when I was an investment advisor, the conversation was definitely about, well, how can I make sure that my bills are paid, or how can I make sure that my kids can go to school, which are all great conversations to have. But I heard that men were talking about money more as a tool. Like, what investments are we making? What developments am I putting money into to buy? The conversation was just very different. Not saying one is right or wrong, but I realized that there was a different level of confidence that men approached to money versus that women attached to money.
And I just have to ask, in this day and age, do you feel that that's changed, or...
I think it's changing, okay. But not enough.
Wow, not enough. Because we're talking about years ago. That wouldn't have been recent. Yeah.
So this is probably 15 years ago. I do think that there's been a lot of progress made, but there's still a lot more progress that needs to be done, especially when it's coming to making sure that people understand their financial needs. It's not just about budgeting. I think we always hear about the term financial literacy, which is really about savings, the different type of accounts you use. And while it's all valid and needed, there's a whole nother type of wellness that's needed when it comes to investing or having insurance or having an estate plan. Do you have a will? Should you have a trust? These are the things that I find that we don't necessarily talk about that needs to be talked about. And that's how you really build a generational wealth. How do you take it from one generation to another with the most legal, taxable, prudent way to do so?
Right. So, and I love that. So I'm actually going to jump off of that. So this Well Within series was really around, we do put a lot of focus on mental health. We often don't really talk about what it means to be well, or just be a well human being. And financial wellness is also a really big part of that. And I think it's a great way to bring us to peace, right? Like, I will be honest with you, like, even just that I know we were joking around, but even just you taking that time to show me that, and to show me that I can actually do it with didn't need thousands of dollars. I need a 25. Like, I think I maybe started that day with like $50, you know, but you were showing me that I could start with $25. But it brought a peace of mind, because I think the knowledge and the belief that I can helped. And so, in your opinion, just really wanted to find this, maybe your definition, what does true financial wellness look like, and how can it actually change and evolve somebody's day-to-day life?
Ooh, yes. For me, financial wellness is, it's not just about the numbers. Mm-hmm. It's about, to your point, confidence, freedom, agency. Mm-hmm. It is about building, I love the fact that, and I want to be clear, like, I've worked very hard. I got to this point. I'm now at a place of peace where I'm like, I don't have to worry about, can I pay my bills month to month? It is that kind of softness that I like, where everything doesn't have to be hard. And I think definitely in certain communities, it's the struggle that is celebrated. I want a soft life. So for me, it's, when I think of, like, what is it defined by, it's being able to give me back time. How do I get agency over my time to do other things that I want to do, like travel or be with friends, go for brunch like we did a few weeks ago. Like, those are the things that when I think about financial wellness, that comes to mind of how I define it, is how I'm able to now use my time, which is something that's a commodity we can never get back. And so anything that allows me to have more time to do other things that I want to do, that's wealth in my mind.
Well, that's so powerful. I've actually never really thought about it like that. I think we often, I would never have actually defined it like that for myself, but I actually really love it, because it's like, it's not about having all this money. And you never once talked about any value. You didn't talk about hundreds of thousands, millions, or this, any other.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
It looks very different for everybody.
Right. Yeah. It's all of the characteristics that you feel you want to be true in your life, and then having the kind of wealth that enables you to be able to support that. And it doesn't mean that you have to be living in a big house and all this, any other. It's just, you need to define, like, these are the things that I would like to do with my life. So do you think that kind of having that kind of, and I know, you know, this is not necessarily, I'm going off a little bit of where I want to take this conversation, but do you think that maybe having that kind of attitude changes the hustle to like one of attraction?
Yes. I think it changes one of attraction in the sense that you have more clarity of what you want and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I use that to when I have, so even though I did my own investing, I was an investment advisor, but I still have a financial planner and investment advisor. Oh. I literally went to them and I said, this is what I want to do. Here's my plan. What is the number that I need to hit so I can have this life? Ooh. And literally worked through that number. And usually when you see, and I encourage everybody to kind of do an exercise like that, because nine times when you see the number, it's probably not nearly as big as you think it actually is.
That's the first thought I thought about how value add that exercise would be. Probably would shock you.
To where I was like, I want to be work optional at this age. And work optional to me means I can have a job, but I can also opt not to, and I can just do things as I choose. I want to be work optional at this age. I want to be mortgage free or mortgage adjacent free, meaning that I'm almost mortgage free at this age, and have that plan. And that gave me peace of mind, because when you talk about is a calling, almost is a calling money to you, it allowed me to then move differently in the decisions that I'm making today. It allowed me to invest differently. It allowed me for the different job opportunities that I take. I'm more so like, does it align with the number that I need to hit at this age? And if it doesn't, okay, then I need to make some adjustments. Having that and having that agency, and that's when I go back to like the confidence and the freedom to say, this doesn't align with my future goal that I'm trying to hit at X age. So then I need to make some adjustments now. Yeah. That gave me a different level of freedom. And I do believe that it calls different opportunities to you, because now you're operating and you're walking with a different level of confidence because you know where you're going. I think many times we, and myself included, we just operate in life, but we don't have that true like North Star of what we're trying to accomplish. Once you get your number,
It's a different mindset, especially if the number comes in way lower than you thought it needed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the law of attraction. And so I find that because we don't always talk about money in the investment, wealth building, estate building sense, that sometimes we are fear of it. We fear it. And so we really don't realize that we're not nearly as bad off as we may think or society may be telling us. It's just having the conversation to understand where we are.
And, you know, I'm looking at my notes because I did want to touch on fear, because I truly do believe fear detracts, not attracts. But before you do, you just dropped some terms on us, right? You dropped soft life.
Yes.
You dropped work optional. Never heard that one before.
I do love a work optional.
I was thinking work optional. I like that. I get to work if I want to. So 2 decades that you've been in the financial industry, and you've really helped people approach money from a place of confidence and peace. I love that. You did that to me, and so I attest to that. And what can you share with people to help them sort of dive into a similar journey that you would have had around financial, like knowledge, empowerment, building up from your experience? What would be sort of your direction?
Well, for me, my whole goal is to simplify the conversation around money and demystify and debunk the stereotypes around money that, oh, you can't talk about money because it's so declassé or whatnot. Like, am I going to go to dinner and ask somebody like how much they make and they're at the next table and I'll know them? No, but... But you have your trusted group. And I'll give you an example. For me, it's about having clear conversations. I was going up for a job a while back, and I have a wonderful core group. You know many of them. And actually, you're one of them also, because that's what I call. And so I remember messaging the group and saying, like, I'm going up for this. How should I negotiate my salary? I'm not really sure how much I should be getting paid, da-da-da. 2 women were amazing, came back, said, yes, this is what I made, this is what I made, da-da-da, this is how you should negotiate. Recently going to look for a condo, and I knew somebody else. I was already kind of down the path. I knew somebody else who was coming in, starting to look for real estate on her own. I said, hey, I'll share kind of how I negotiated and what I paid, because I knew they were looking in the same area. So to make sure, like, hey, you get a good deal. It's the conversations. I think the first thing is we got to stop gatekeeping information. Woo! Me sharing
with you does not negate or hurt my check by helping you or giving sharing information with you, and vice versa. So the first thing is stop gatekeeping information. Second thing is having really simple conversations. Don't be afraid to ask the question and have a conversation. And especially in underrepresented communities, we have to have a conversation. We need to demystify and get away from this whole, like, we don't talk about that, we don't, I don't need anybody. And I'm from a Caribbean background. My parents are Bahamians. No, I am as well. You know, there is, in our community, there is this conversation of, we don't talk about money, you keep everything in the house. And then to my sentiment to that is, well, how's that been working out for us? Because if we're talking about money, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is, curate the people that you're talking to money about. So there's, yes, there's your friends, but we all know there's some friends, they not the people to talk to. Let's keep it 100%. So curate the people that you're talking to money about, but also make sure you have a good money team that's around you. Make sure if you need a financial advisor, if you need a financial planner, an estate planner that's helping you make your plan, make sure you have the right money team. The same way we go to a hairstylist. Everybody goes to a hairstylist. It's like, I'm not the professional. You go to the professional to do that. When I want to go to the doctor, I go to the doctor to do that. You, if you need financial support, make sure you're going to the right professionals to help you along the way. So those are my three things.
A money team around you.
Always.
And curate those you talk about money with.
Yes, exactly. And because who you associate with and who you talk about money with how it calls things to you, mm-hmm. that definitely matters. Mm-hmm. And so those would be the things that I've used over the years. But it's also, you got to do your own work too. Make sure you're looking at credible news and websites that have this information. Mm-hmm. We love the Instagrams and the tick and the talks and all that stuff. And I think it's great because it's been able to put out information to where people may not be able to access it previously, but make sure we're vetting that information, that it's accurate information. So that's what I would say for people to explore the financial journey, is just getting started and having the right conversations.
There's never been a conversation that I've had with you around the conversation about money where I haven't felt joy, increased opportunity, like knowledge, and share with the audience, like that's almost has to be your starting point. How could somebody start to introduce some of that into their life right now instead of the stress? Like what could be some of the things that they could just wake up and start to either say to themselves or do?
Yeah. So I would say the first thing is check your accounts. You'd be surprised how many people don't check their accounts. Mm. Check your accounts. Like, and it's not where you have to look at budget or anything like that. Just check your account and see how is it doing today. It's like, it's almost like the girlfriend. I look at my accounts as my girlfriend. Like, hey girl, how you doing? Just checking in. And you know, I'll just send you text messages like, just checking on you. Just want to see how you, I do the same with my accounts. Just checking on you. Just want to see how you're doing. A lot of folks don't check our accounts out of fear because we don't want to be in there. Mm-mm. You would check on your strong girlfriend. You would check on your or guy friend, whoever. We don't discriminate here. And you would check on your friend just to see how they're doing. So start looking at your accounts in that way. So I think that's just the first easy thing. The second thing I would do is look around your house. What are the brands that you constantly buy that you have an allegiance to? There are brands that I'm like, I grew up on, I still buy them today. My laundry detergent. I have bought the same laundry detergent for like 20, 30 years. I grew up on it. Start with that. If you just start looking at the things that you buy all the time, because again, usually women are the largest consumer of, or choosers of what we consume in our household. This could be anybody. And so what are the brands that you're already familiar with? And then start looking at those. Literally, you could go to Yahoo Finance. You could go to CNBC, really any credible financial source like that. Type in the brand and just say, I want to get to know this brand. And you could literally Google like financial information on this brand. Take one brand a day, one brand a week, it doesn't matter. Those are simple things that you could just start doing because you already have a buy-in. You're already buying the product all the time. Get to know the product. And so those are two simple things that I would start to do, like just if you want to dip your toe in just to understand the industry and what it's about. And then to your point, open up a direct investing account or, you know, a do-it-yourself account. Many accounts these days, you actually don't have to put money in. You can also almost do like a fictitious, they give you like fictitious money that you could just kind of fake. Mm-hmm. You're not losing anything, but it's a great way for individuals to start to get to know what is trading, what is investing, and have lots of financial information at their fingertips. So those would be my three things if you're just tipping your toe that are just very simple, very easy. You're not at any risk in the sense that you're putting your own money in, but you can just start to see how things are operating.
And I love that last one. I gave somebody the advice. Investopedia is a great place to go and look for some money, right?
Yeah.
And they have kids tools as well, right? So you can actually start to get your kids learning this at a very young age and starting to break the cycle of it not being something that you talk about in your home. Absolutely. Something else I love that you may not, that I want to pull into this, because this is called Well Within. Yes. And I love how you said survey your home and just start there, because meaning that anytime you bring something into your home, if you have investment in it, then essentially you're investing in yourself.
Exactly.
think that's how you bring wellness within, like financial wellness within. It just flows so aligned with this Well Within. Start from within. Just look around, survey, and now you know you're paying yourself as you're also buying these products.
Exactly. It's like you're paying yourself
dividends. It's a mindset.
Yes. Yeah. Glass half full all the time.
I love it. Anytime I watch Netflix, I'm like, ching, ching.
I love it, Netflix. Oh, yes.
I'm like, I'm investing. At least I'm paying money, but still also investing. So, so conversations, you've touched on it. They aren't easy. And people are, so I'm going to tap into this a little bit, because some people right now will feel that they will have to go and build what you say, curate your circle. So what would, like, if you were now looking to curate your circle, and it may not be just your friends that you talk to all the time, what would need to be true? Like, what would you be looking for in that?
Oh, yeah. Person? And full disclosure, I don't just talk to my friends. Like, I think you need folks. So the first thing is I look for folks of all different ages. Mm. And here's why. I look at different ages from a perspective of wisdom, experience. And also, like, I love this new Gen Z generation. They are like, so the level of audacity that they have is what I need to have in my life. So I look for all the different ages, because they all bring something different. Mm. They all have approach. So I look at different ages. I look at different experience backgrounds. So I would have a lawyer that's in there, and not necessarily that I'm going to them for legal advice, but they're going to look at it from a very financial or technical ability is going to come from a very different perspective. Mm-hmm. I would have somebody who is completely outside the financial industry, doesn't have anything to do with it. It's about having the different perspective. What I'm looking at when I'm curating the folks that I might go to for financial advice, and sometimes it's not, and what I want to be clear, sometimes it's not even financial advice. Mm-hmm. I'll give you, today I had a conversation with somebody, and the person is very much into the development real estate industry. Mm-hmm. And I called them, I'm looking at a condo, and I said, hey, I want to get your idea, your thoughts on this. And they said, hey, you should look at this, and you should look with the reserves or whatnot. That person's not in the financial industry, has nothing to do with it, but I knew that they were a developer and they could guide me on that financial situation. Mm-hmm. So I would say, look at what are the gaps that you feel like you currently have, mm-hmm. where you might not have that expertise, or you might have not that knowledge, and find somebody who's in that industry. LinkedIn is a great opportunity. I have sent messages. I would literally look for somebody on there and who has a certain career or whatnot. You know how you see different people's profiles. I have no problem sending somebody a coffee chat, or, hey, can we have a virtual coffee chat? I just want to learn more about your career and what you do. Mm. That's another thing that I add to the repertoire. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, the first thing is not being afraid to say, I don't know, and I just want to learn more. People love to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean it in the most respectful way, that people love to share their experiences. Mm-hmm. So I look at who I'm curating to say, not just just outside of my friend group. I'm looking for a different age group. I want you to have different job type for me, because you're bringing a different type of perspective. Mm-hmm. And then don't be afraid to just ask questions for people that you don't know. I will strike up a conversation with the person at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Because that person, if I see somebody buying something, I'm like, why'd they buy that? Mm-hmm. I would say natural curiosity, mm-hmm. because that's going to also attract people to you, mm-hmm. that you may not always be like, oh, this person and I have something in common. Just be curious, and you'll figure out where you need to be, and the people will be attracted to you as well.
I love that. And so We're going to start to wrap up. But as part of Empowered of My Skin, and as part of even just me becoming a well human, how I talk to myself, has been tantamount to me, like being able to just kind of get through life. And I truly do believe, like, your whole thing about, I love that, like, pick up, like, look at your counts and just like, there was something you said. You said, like, you would check in on your strong friend. You know what I mean? And so checking on your account, right? So what are some of the things, the languages that you still hear that people are using, saying around money that you really wish can shift?
That they can't afford to invest. Especially nowadays, there's no reason to invest. If you got $20, you can invest. I know I'm dating myself now. Back in the day, we didn't have fractional shares.
No, we didn't even, no, come on. It was not that far. What, fractional shares have been around for how long?
Where people can actually invest. That's more recent. That's more last 5 years.
Did you hear that
years.
Or is that just me?
No, that's me. That's me. Sorry.
Okay. No, not just, you didn't react. So I was like, hold on.
Okay, keep going.
I was like, is there buzzing in my ear?
No, that was me. I was like, you're supposed to be on mute.
I was like, who's coming to take me away? Okay, go.
So, you know, nowadays there's fractional shares, there is exchange traded funds. There's so many opportunities to get into building wealth, building investments at a very minimal amount. And so now when I hear folks say, oh, I can't afford to. Now, I'm not saying like everybody has stuff that's going on, but I just want people to dispel the myth that it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to get into the investment market. I want that language to disappear. Yeah. Also the language that if you come from a certain socioeconomic background, that you're just not smart enough or you just can't do it, that it is a quintessential middle-aged pale males industry. Yeah, still to some extent, but there's entrance and agency for everybody.
And there's enough room for everybody. Yeah.
Exactly. And so then also the confidence, like the other thing is that I don't know, or I don't want to start, or people are scared to start. These days, there's so many entry-level opportunities to start. So I just want us to be kinder to ourselves and give ourselves more credit and grace than we typically have. And to debunk that we can't do this. This is absolutely something we can do. This is absolutely something we should be doing. And there's lots of information out there, credible information that's available to get us started with that.
And I'm hoping to the listeners that have not started, that was just actually so simple. And it's really quite true. Like ever since we set up my direct investing account, I was doing a automatic $25 from every paycheck, right? Like, and because you could buy fractional shares, can you just take a minute to explain what a fractional share is? Because I think that really made me feel like, oh wow, so I can buy Apple, I can buy Google, I can buy Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in layman's terms, so right now, I don't know what the prices are right now, but I'll just say, I'll give you figurative numbers. So let's say one share of Apple.
I have my direct investment account. Let me just check. Yeah. Go on.
So let's say one share of Apple costs $1,000. I'm just rounding up. And let's say Netflix is right behind it, like $800 for one share. So every one share, you have to pay $800. So if I needed to build a portfolio of, let's say, Microsoft, I'm blanking. If we did Facebook or all these type of Netflix or whatnot, if that would be
the
really
fang,
expensive.
The fang, they call it.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be really expensive to do that. However, fractional shares means that I can buy, like, let's say a fifth of that company or that share. So one fifth of the share, instead of having a whole share, I'll have a fifth of it. So I'm still getting something. I'm still buying into that company, but I'm just not doing it at the $800 mark. I might be doing it at like the $50 mark, but I'm still owning a piece of that really profitable company at the time. So we're buying a fraction of the company.
Right.
Exactly.
And so right now I have Google, Netflix, Apple, and Amazon. And then I have like Lightspeed and a couple others. And anyway, those are not fractional. Sorry. So the fractional ones that I have are Google, Netflix, Apple, Amazon. And then everything else is not. So Google is like $38.34. Netflix is $47.73. Apple.
And these are, and these are the fractional shares that you bought.
Right. Yeah. Right. $34.49 and Amazon is $27.19. This is at today's, right? And when I saw that and the fact that, okay, if you, and then the portfolio has been growing, like literally, like I started and it's only been growing. So I think it's, I thought it was beautiful. You introduced me to it and I was like, I have to try it. And it's real. It's actually real.
And look how you're smiling right now. Look at the confidence you have on your face that you took ownership of your financial destination.
It feels good. Point. And you know, one of the other things I will say, because you said it before about looking, like the other thing I did was I tried to consolidate everything into a view. And so that when I do pick up my phone and I look, I can actually see my portfolio. I can see the numbers. And don't judge the numbers.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The numbers are what the numbers are going to be. But it's going back to, okay, if you have that right money team and you've curated your financial group that you have, then you know that there's going to be fluctuations.
Yeah.
And you know that things are going to go up, down, sideways, or whatnot. But it's about making sure that you have that North Star. You've created that plan. You know where you're going. So, yeah, there's always going to be ebbs and flows, but you're ultimately going to a final destination. Well, not the final destination, but you know.
I get it. Yes. Yes. You're heading to the where you're heading back to what you said earlier, which is the what needed to be true for you. Like, what am I trying? What kind of life do I want to live? And then what do I need in order to be able to afford that? And there you go. You got your number. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so weaved into all of this too is the power of the network. Like you've also been building a little bit on that story and that truth. And so I just want to call that out in case that was missed, is that even when you start to think about being well financially or your financial well-being, the obviously the who you have around you matters, but look how she talked about strategically how you can sort of build a network where you can go and ask questions, where you can get help and get, like you never need to really feel stuck, you know?
No. You don't need to feel stuck and you don't need to feel alone, especially in today's age. There's so much information, so many people that more so now than before that are willing to talk about money and that want to talk about money in a very educated. And when I say educated, I don't mean formal educated way. I mean more of a, I want to have more of a factual conversation with you. Mm. That's what I mean is, and there's more people that are open and willing to have that conversation now than I think that was before.
And are there like, I'm assuming you continue to learn and grow and advance your knowledge and all this and the other. So are there any like podcasts or books or things that you go to that you can like?
I'm so glad you asked. So I'm old school. I do love a good book. and so I'm looking at some of them now. So some of the books that I read are money driven, but some are just more just confidence as well when you go into the room. So I'm just looking over here. One of the books, actually, can I grab books?
Yes. But I'm going to be asking you about books in the Rapid Thriver. So I don't want you to, don't share your best book yet.
Okay. I won't share my best book. Okay. Okay.
You're stealing my interview.
So sorry. I'm coming right back. okay. Don't worry. I won't give my best one. I won't give my best one. All right. So there's a couple books that I like. Good old fashioned Rich Dad Poor Dad. I just feel like this is a good simple book to get you started. I also like this one about grit.
Ooh, yes. What's the author again?
The author of this one is Angela Duckworth.
Duckworth, yes, yes.
Yes. So I really like this one. If you're looking for a good read, confidence, resilience, that sort of thing, love this one. And then I would just, I'll do this one. So this one, I'll just do three. Girls That Invest.
Oh.
So I think anybody who is just looking for, just to get started with investing, want to have it in layman's terms, easy to read, I thought that this was a really good book, and it's for anybody. It's about, I won't tell everybody what it's about, but they can Google, but I think it's a really good, easy read that if you're looking to just get started and just know terminology, that sort of thing, I think that's an easy read to do.
That might be one I have to get because I have not read that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are my three of your, if I'm talking about books. And then podcasts, there used to be one by the Wall Street Journal called The Wealthy Women. You can still find it. It's still online. They would interview women CEOs and talk about their journey and how they created wealth through their companies and how they invested their money to continue to grow their company and also how did they make financial decisions? What were the risks that they had to take? So I really liked that podcast. So that's the one that I actually still listen to this day.
I love that. I have one final question for you, and then I'm going to go into Rapid Thrivers and wrap up this interview with you. And this is, by the way, you are feeding my joy so much. Just a sidebar too, because I also want to say, like, I think there's like, as I reflect back to when I decided to be, and because I think I talked to you about that. I said, I want to talk more about money. I want to understand my money a lot better. And I think one of the first things you told me, well, you have to look at it. And then you also had, I didn't know what I've amassed. Right. And so even just getting that really helped. I was like, oh, wow, it's much better than I thought. But also then that just started to kick off more, because then just by wanting to be more hungry about investing, I learned about venture capital. I learned about angel investing. And then I became an accredited angel investor. And then you get to start to invest in other women's dreams. I think it's just such a beautiful thing. I think it's such a beautiful thing. So I'm hoping anyone that's listening to this feels the joy, because you kickstarted it for me. And this feels like such an opportunity to pay back to others. So
money is my place. I love talking about money all day long.
Yeah, I know. So with everything that you said, and it might have to be one thing that you repeated or something like that, I want to know, like, what is the one simple practice that you love the most that you can share with a listener today to alter their mindset towards one more of feeling more confident, well, and, you know, as humans, we love control of their money. With everything you said.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, we've had such a great conversation.
Your favorite, maybe it's your favorite piece of advice. Even if you've said it already.
You know, maybe it's so cliche and it's so simple. Ask the question. That's it. Because if we talk about talking about money, we talk about, like, everything that I feel like we've talked about all really comes back to the first thing you have to do is ask the question. Really sit back and think about what is it that you need and what is it that you want. And then go ask the question to those folks who can help you. And so for me, I think it's just starting the conversation. If I wasn't so just like, hey, I love architecture, I'm just going to walk into this building and figure out what's going on, don't be afraid to ask the question and start the conversation. Everything else comes afterwards. Even you and I talking about, you know, your direct investing and my Louis Vuitton bag that I returned. And I was like,
no, look at all that, right?
All of that started with
a question.
A conversation. And so I think it's just the simple, just easiest thing is just start with the question and go from there.
Thank you. I love that. I actually really love that. So when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
My mom. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. She's no longer here anymore, but she continues to inspire me every day. She is the reason I am who I am today. She is the one who inspires me for everything that I do.
I'm really sorry for your loss too.
No, but it's still joyful because I am her walking.
On steroids.
she's definitely, I would say, family-wise, she is the one who inspires me. And then I would say industry-wise, and I'm blanking on her last name, of course, and I adore her so much. She's my friend in my head, Melody. It is blanking. She just did a beautiful interview with Emma. It'll come to me later.
Okay.
Yes, she'll come to me later. I'll send you.
What is it about her? I'm looking her up. Melody?
Oh.
What's her claim to fame?
So she is the...
Melody Thomas Scott?
Hobson.
Melody?
Hobson. H-O-B. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she is the co-CEO of Ariel Investments. So if you look at... Especially when I came up in the industry, there was minimal women, especially minority women, Black women, who were leading in the investment industry. So she has always been kind of the inspiration mentor in my head of having representation in the financial investment industry. So she is also, I would say, my other inspiration.
So we're gonna have to clip this part, tag her, so that you can, I don't know if you've met her yet, but this might be it. Okay.
Yeah.
What is a daily activity that you do? I think I know what you're going to say. What is a daily activity every day that makes you feel financially well?
Oh God, I check my accounts. It's not even like, and when I say check my accounts, it's literally like I don't do anything sometimes, and I'm not checking it for balance or to be like, oh my gosh, no, it's not that at all. It's my activity. It's literally a 3-minute activity. I check it because it's about the discipline.
Yeah.
It's about my accountability that, okay, if you want to go spend that, like, okay, you got to face the music tomorrow.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's also making sure anybody doing no funny business up in there either.
Well, I was just about to say that's also the benefit as well, is that you get to see transactions a lot sooner.
Exactly. So for me, it's check my accounts and it takes me 2 to 3 minutes. That's it.
And one other thing, because this is very recent. So I was an avid debit user or cash in wallet. I still keep cash because you just never know. But we went for dinner. Yeah. And I can't remember if it came up when we were paying for the dinner. Was it at the time we were paying for the dinner? And you said to me quite boldly, she says, debit is the way that you keep the poor. What is it? The debit is the way you keep the poor man.
I was just like, when we use our debit cards, we're not getting any points.
Something like that. Like you're not getting any points or something. She says, no, you don't do that no more. You get into a great habit of paying your credit card. You get the points. And I will be honest with you, it's like even this evening, I gassed up my car. And as soon as I finish this, I'm going to just go and move the money from my cash account into my credit. And I know I get the points. So my points have been racking up since we met that day.
And again, ask the question and just everybody knows we have that kind of rapport where we are each other's financial accountability. So I'm like, what is happening here? And I know that you're very disciplined in that way. And so I was like, hey, let's also get the benefit. Like, let's make sure when we want to go to that trip later on this year,
that you have the points to do it. Right. I wish I took a baseline that day of where my points were, but I think that they've grown by about 50,000. Because I think it was like, it's 357,000 now, but I think they were like at 3 something. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, asking the question, but it's also like, I'm making sure my friends are good. I'm making sure that we are all like, we move as one. One wins, we all win.
Yes.
And so that's my mentality of just like, we ain't doing that.
No, and it's also another, I have recognized that it is actually easier for me to see my transactions. I mean, I'm trying to, my discipline is I purchase it and I put it on only because I've had a bad practice of running credit and I don't want to ever get into that situation again. And I also, I don't want to even like this interview can go on. So let me get back to the rapid thriver. We by the way, I am trying to convince her to be my financial expert on the podcast. So she's coming back for sure for an actual episode on the technicalities of financial. So what is that book? That extra book that you didn't show us that just kind of helps you be well.
I am literally pulling it up now. It's called, so I would say one of my books, again, an easy read that is just like very empowering, very no BS. It is called The First 100K. It's for financial feminism and money education. Again, and this is for anybody who can read. I loved the way that she approaches the kind of, I'm not taking anything for granted. I am taking up space at the table and really breaking down the financial lingo. And so that was one of my, I think, first books early on that I got to read. And then this one is just going to be random. Any of the financial, you know, the series like Dummies, it's like the yellow book.
Dummies for, yeah.
I live by all of them. Any of their financial books are amazing.
Okay.
It's really easy. They're fun to read. Mm-hmm. And
That was actually brilliant when whoever did that. I don't know the story behind it, but fantastic, brilliant.
Yeah.
What is an app that helps you with your financial wellness?
You said what is
an app?
Oh, so my banking app.
Yeah.
I don't. anything like, I don't use anything like extracurricular. Okay. It's just my banking app. And then I just use a spreadsheet. I just have a simple spreadsheet that I do my little budgeting on.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe I'm a little old school in that way.
No, that's one thing I need. That's the part I need to get better is the budgeting, but I know you're helping me with that. And so we'll deepen those conversations. And now what is one misconception, Miss Delicia, that people have of you as they see you? Because I will be honest with you, you talk with like the experience you can't be faulted. Like it's there. It's there. It's inspiring. It's delivered in a way that is simple. But I believe that it is possible to have people have a misconception of you. And what do you think that is?
Oh, probably that I think it's maybe two wrapped up in one. I am not the quintessential cookie cutter, which you typically see as a financial news anchor or a financial person. This for me, like this is my lack of color today, but you know, you typically see me, I'm in some bright color. I love all the fashion. I love to be gaudy sometimes. And so I do have a very joyful personality. And typically people have a stereotype of, they think financial strategist or somebody who's in the investment industry, you're very, and so I can be very matter of fact, but I'm like, hey, I live life. I have a good time. And so I think that you can have both.
Yes.
That you know, everyone can be more than one thing and it doesn't have to be in this box. Mm-hmm. So I would think that's a common misconception when people find out what I do and they're like, oh, is that what you do? I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I love that. You can have both. And, you know, I say this all the time. There is a book by that title, but I actually use it in action, is The Genius of Van versus The Tyranny of Or. You yes. can have yeah. both.
Yeah.
Life is so, meant to be additive. Yes.
Yeah. And I want people to see that you can, especially in the financial industry, it's not just the cookie cutter boring. Yeah, I'm not saying it's, you know, everyone's boring or whatnot, but we're not all the button up type. You can still have fun and enjoy what you do.
Yeah. I can understand that being in tech. I can understand. So where do we find more of you online?
You can find me on all socials at I am Delicia. Delicia is spelled with two E's, D as in Delta, E-L-E-C-I-A. And so thank you for sharing your platform with me today. I so appreciate you.
Don't think you have one more question.
Finish
this sentence for the world. I am most empowered of my skin when?
I'm most empowered in my skin when... Oh, that's a really good one. When I feel strong. I feel strong when I have a clear path and that I'm using my money as a tool instead of just survival. And so that makes me feel strong. I feel empowered when I feel strong and because I have clarity on my money.
I love it. And there's nothing better than a great story that ends the way it started. And the main fact that you just wrapped up like that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, so much. This is so fabulous. I'm so happy that this is the first of the Well Within series. And we have taught you through this how to bring wellness, financial wellness, and well-being into your space.
Absolutely.
You and into the space around you. And so, you know, if you need hit rewind, listen to it again, get out your notebooks, take the notes and take action. But for now, this is where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. As a reminder, the information shared in this episode was for educational and inspirational purposes only and do not constitute financial, legal, or investment advice. Always consult with a qualified financial advisor or professional before making any financial decisions. The views expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of their employer nor of the Empowered in My Skin team. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.